The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If we carefully read the Gospels and we pray with them, there are a couple of things become evident as consistent realities. The first, and this especially flows from Jesus' divine nature, is his union with the Father. Constantly referring to his desire for the Father, he has come not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. He's always drawing people's attention to the Father, saying, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Another reality that really more flows from his human nature is Jesus' constant desire for human companionship. So this is evident even as an infant in his early days. He lives and operates in the context of the Holy Family. And even when he begins his public ministry, and yes, spends time in the desert with his Heavenly Father, he wants his mother to be with him during these key moments of his public ministry. And almost immediately he calls these 12, these apostles, to be with him. Yes, they would continue his mission on earth, but to satisfy his heart's desire for companionship and friendship. And even as he draws near to Holy Week, near Jerusalem, he goes to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, his good friends, wanting to be with his friends. In the Garden of Gethsemane, calling his three closest friends to be near him in that time of trial, especially exemplified in the Last Supper, of which our gospel today is a passage. In John chapter 15, at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And today is in some ways a continuation of that theme of teaching them about the level of Christian friendship. So my reflection today is on that very topic, friendship and companionship, and how we live it as Catholics and Christians. I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert, there is this human capacity and need for friendship. And based on data, and I think mostly our observations and even experience, here in the 21st century, we've experienced a decline and even maybe a crisis of friendship just in a 30-year span. Especially adult males have had a tremendous decline in their number of close friends. In fact, 1 in 5 adult men say they have no close friends. And you think, in the modern age, shouldn't it be easier with all the technology? Well, of course, technology inhibits depth of friendship in so many ways. The level of being on the surface with social media friends. And then, of course, when I have the option to spend time with others, or maybe just stay at home and watch television alone, which one's easier, right? So a lot of us isolate ourselves from those that we'd like to be close to. So in this day of a crisis of friendship, we commit to being better friends. And what does it mean to be a friend? Jesus is not the first one to ponder this topic of friendship. In fact, it's been talked about for centuries. Aristotle has a beautiful kind of categorization of types of friends. And I'm going to relay those to you, but just remember, he's not critiquing any one of these types of friends. All of them are a human reality. None of them are bad necessarily, but there's certainly one that's more deeper. So the first one he talks about is a friendship of pleasure. This is the friendship based on mutual delight. You think about those people that maybe you enjoy the same sports team, you're rooting for them, or maybe it's sharing experiences of hobbies like crocheting or quilting or things like this. You share a similar joy. The foundation of those are often not deep, right? Because as soon as maybe the football season's over, then you don't have as much to hang out about. So the pleasure is decreased and the friendship is decreased. The second type of friendship that Aristotle talks about is a friendship of utility. And this is a friendship based on mutual benefit. We've all had friends like this that I think back to high school and you saw a friend every day. It was because he had a car to get you to high school. So you share a ride. It was very useful. And as soon as maybe you get your own car, then maybe the friendship kind of declines because there's no need for it. So those things happen all the time. I also think of like a barber. You see him every 3 or 4 weeks and you enjoy talking to him, but really the basis of the friendship is he's useful to you to get a haircut. So those are realities, but not a proper depth. The third type that Aristotle talks about is the friendship of virtue. This is the type of friendship in which the other person is loved, not for their sake of how pleasant they make life or how beneficial they are, but for their own sake. You will their good for their own sake. And this is the love that our Lord is talking about in the gospel. Love one another, even with a self-sacrificial love. So this means I have to go deeper than just being pleasant or nice or agreeable to others. This type of friendship demands a deeper love. In the context of virtuous friendship or friendship of virtue, I think of, and this is my own list here, three necessary attributes or qualities. First of all, a friendship of virtue is there for encouragement. We all know, especially in different times in our life, life is difficult. Life is hard. There are setbacks, moments of discouragement, even despair. There's illness. There's family issues. There's job issues. There's all sorts of things that go on, and the Lord never wanted us to live the Christian life alone. He does not expect you to gut it out and white knuckle it on your own. He called the 12 apostles together, and he sent them two by two, knowing they would be, it would be very, very hard to live that life. They would need one another. In the first reading today, from the Acts of the Apostles, we learn about some of Paul's missionary journeys. So he spent 3 long missionary journeys all throughout the Mediterranean. He was never alone. Who was one of his most constant companions? Barnabas. We heard about him in the first reading today. Barnabas, we know a little bit about him. He grew up in Cyprus, joined St. Paul's missionary journeys. We know his name wasn't Barnabas. It was Joseph. Barnabas was a nickname. What does Barnabas mean? Son of encouragement. He was given the nickname because he was known for encouraging others in their missionary work. So let's all reflect on this nature of friendship of encouragement. A second role that a friend plays is inspiration. If we have friends that are virtuous friendships regularly, we should, if we're living life with them even, spending time with them, we should witness how generous they are, how self-sacrificial they are, how faithful they are, how prayerful they are. We should be inspired by their example. I'm so blessed to have friends like that in my life. I have lay friends, most especially those who are married and have children. I see how much daily they lay down their life for their family and their spouse. And it reminds me, I shouldn't be complaining about how hard a priesthood is. I've got to lay down my life too. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. So they inspire me. My friends who are priests, when I get together on vacation or other little times, I'm so inspired by how much they are driven by the mission of Christ. And I want to be like them. So friendship is there for inspiration. The last aspect of friendship, a virtue, which is essential and maybe the hardest, is correction. The task of a friend is to look at their friend and tell them, not to preach at them, but to tell them and remind them, you were made for more, and I know you're capable by God's grace of more. Whether it's noticing the other person's not praying enough or getting to Mass on Sundays, or maybe they're not investing in their marriage or family enough, or maybe they are gossiping when you're together, or maybe they're using bad language or bad humor, or maybe they have a bad habit of drinking. Whatever it is, a true friend will call them higher. That's so essential in the modern age, is not to look the other way. Iron sharpens iron in the best sense. And this is the task of a friend. And in light of encouragement, inspiration, and correction, we realize true friendship is hard. It takes work. And when I think of the context of the parish, a Catholic parish, especially in the 21st century, our task, yes, is to direct our attention to God the Father, as Christ has exemplified, always pointed to the Father in our prayer and our worship. But it's also to foster companionship on the human level. Not every parishioner needs to be your friends, and you don't have to have only exclusively Catholic friends. It's not what I'm saying, but this should be a place where human companionship and friendship is experienced. And that means I can't just bolt before and after Mass. It will not foster companionship. To linger, to meet others, to live life with others. And that means also friendships of faith must extend beyond the walls of this church and beyond the geographic boundaries of this parish property. To live life outside of this place is a requirement of authentic Catholic Christian friendship. C.S. Lewis has some great observations about this. He says that where romantic relationships, the two are facing one another and gazing into each other's faces, friendship has a side-by-side dynamic to it. Friends are shoulder to shoulder looking upon a mutual love. And in the case of our Catholic Christian faith, we are united shoulder to shoulder facing our mutual love, which is Christ in the church. I think it's beautiful that our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, whose inauguration Mass was this morning, and yes, I kind of nerded out and watched some of it early this morning on the internet, his papal motto is in illo uno unum, Latin for in the one we are one. And he's referring to a quote from St. Augustine that means in the one Christ we are one. There is no other source of unity and relationship in the church except Christ. So if our deepest friendships, our most cherished friendships, are not ordered towards our mutual love, Christ, then it cannot have the foundation that will last the test of time and will not increase virtue and holiness. There's so many cases where I think I have a friend, but it's a false friendship because it's not based on a mutual love. It's based on mutual derision. What I mean by that is, and I know I've said this before, you can't imagine us priests ever doing this, but sometimes when we priests get together, we complain. And it's cathartic to just express some frustrations that are going on in life. But that cannot be a basis of friendship. That's just an outlet for venting. And that's part of friendship too, but one another calling each other higher and fixing our gaze on our mutual love. So it's not just for human companionship. Real friendship calls us to holiness. And it also is the foundation for evangelization. The Lord wants unity and companionship and authentic friendship in the church to be a witness to the world. Read Pope Leo XIV's homily from this morning. We must be a witness to the world of what authentic unity looks like. After all, Who wants to join a family that's dysfunctional and at odds with one another? How do you think we're going to convince anyone who's not Christian or Catholic to join the faith if we're all squabbling or hating one another or gossiping about one another, being uncharitable? It's a matter of evangelization that we learn how to love one another authentically. That's why Christ said it at the Last Supper. And I remind you that the goal of this parish and the goal of our faith is not just creating and forming community. Community actually isn't the goal. It is a very good thing. But remember, community is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Heaven is the goal. Holiness is the goal. Community is the means by which we can accomplish these things. We must love as Christ has loved us. It is not insignificant that Christ tells us about friendship in the context of losing a friend. The gospel begins with noting that Judas had just left. Today at this Holy Mass, we pledge today to be a more faithful friend to Christ with our companionship and our love and our time. And we also commit to being better friends to the people in our life, encouraging, inspiring, and correcting. This is the new commandment, to love one another.